Krishna's rasa filled pastimes with the Radharani, who has not put the dust of Radha's lotus feet on his head, who has not walked the path in Vrindavan where she has walked, and who has not discussed with the devotees of Radha who are very deep. So this is very often you hear in our Goswami, in our literature. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a song on this verse, and here Narottam does also is talking about the dust from the lotus feet of Radharani's. He talks about Radha's divine abode, Vrindavan, and he talks about staying in the company of devotees. These three things you must do, then you can attain Krishna consciousness. And he ends his song by saying, Krishna nama gane bhai, Radhika charana pai, Radha nam gane Krishna chandra. O brother, by chanting Krishna's name, you will attain Radha. By chanting Krishna's name, you will attain Radha. And by chanting Radha's name, you will attain Krishna Chandra. Now I have briefly told you how to find relief from all the sufferings in your heart. Very brief. Chanting Krishna's name, you will attain Radha's, and chanting Radha's name, you will attain Krishna Chandra. This is enough knowledge. Whatever contradicts these words will bring only pain and conflict. Wonderful. My childhood pastimes such as this. Means when he steals the butter, then runs away from his mother who pursues him and finally catches him. By childhood pastimes such as this, he perpetually immerses the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of pure bliss, and through them informs the devotees desirous of knowing his aspect of supreme opulence and majesty, that he is conquered only by those who are free from knowledge of his Aishwarya. With great love, I again and again worship that Damodar Shri Krishna. Bilva Mangala Thakur has written on this point that Krishna is informing us that he is conquered only by those who have great love for him and are not distanced by feelings of awe and reverence. The Bilva Mangala Thakur says this point by saying, as a child you crawl in the murky courtyards, that means it's full of mud, of the gopis, but you do not appear on the sacrificial altars, although the brahmanas chant hymns to bring you there. That is what you did as a baby. As a child, my dear Lord Krishna, you respond enthusiastically to the mooing of the calves, but you don't appear when the saints chant Vedic mantras. And as an adolescent youth, you want to serve the gopis and relieve their fatigue, play for them on your flute and all this, but you are not accepting service by the greatest self-controlled saints. By this we know that you can only be obtained by Braj Bhakti. This is the same thing which Satyavrata Muni makes. And this prayer I heard is very, very old. I heard Satyavrata Muni was already there, you know, when Brahma created the rishis in the very beginning of the universe. It's Braj Prem is very, very honorable. So now we will hear about Krishna's pastimes. Krishna. We will now enter a later period. We will have the Pradosha Leela, which takes place from 8:24 to 10:48 p.m. And as always, we will first hear mantra taking shelter at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. As Gaura Chandra meditated about Krishna's ecstatic pastimes in Braj, he fell down unconscious with longing. His eyes were flooded with tears and his bodily hair stood erect in bliss. Gaura identified himself with Radha's intense mood of separation and cried out in a choked voice, "I must go to the Kunja to see Krishna. I cannot wait any longer." Krishna. This is very interesting. You know these pastimes parallel the pastimes in Vrindavan, as we will see a little later. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is at the moment where he talks about this in his own house, the house of Mother, where he is with Sachi Devi, his mother, Vishnu Priya, and Ishan, the old servant of Mother Sachi. So in the evening he is remembering Radharani's pangs of separation, who longs to be together with Krishna for the nocturnal or night pastimes. And Gaura Chandra now has the same feeling of longing and then goes on an abhisasa. Abhisa is a loving journey. Can anyone imagine where he goes in order to find Krishna? Radharani will leave her house. Gaura Chandra leaves his house. And Radharani will go to the Kunja. Where does Gaura Chandra go? Ranga Devi, with a heavy smile, you are relating the highest truth. Yes. Gaurahari stumbled. He cannot walk straight. Gaurahari stumbled along the path to Srivas Thakur's house. There he sat down amongst his devotees, like the full moon surrounded by the stars. "May I always remember the blissful evening pastimes of Gaurahari." It's very important that Sankirtan Mandal of Shiva's Thakur is the place from where Rasa Leela is entered. Hare Krishna. So now we will hear the Mula Sutra about what goes on in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna Balaram 8 rested briefly and went to the palace auditorium. Wow. They respected everyone properly before sitting down to enjoy the performances. A variety of bards and Puranic reciters entertained everyone. Krishna happily rewarded the performers with money, grains and cloth before retiring to his quarters. Yashoda's assistants served milk to the divine boys and then laid them down to rest. Yashoda repaired to her bedchamber. Now Krishna intensely yearned to meet his sweetheart. He secretly left the palace and ran to the Kunja. This is the Mula Sutra. A very brief description of the pastimes. And now, for all the devotees who want to meditate about this, Siddha Krishna Das has collected verses from the different Vaishnava Granthas who lay out this pastime in detail to us. So, it's evening time. Krishna and Balaram have just ended the milking of the cows. We had heard how Krishna had squatted on the ground. He had put a golden milk bucket between his knees. He had slightly leaned forward, and as a result his turban became a little bit pushed back, and then he had started to milk the cows. But first, just see how much Krishna is Vedic in his milking the cows. First he had squirted 3 rays of milk on Mother Earth, because you must understand, Mother Earth is the one who has given her herbs to nourish the cows, and from these herbs the milk has been produced. So Krishna, acknowledging Mother Earth in the milk production of his cows, is first respectfully giving the milk back to Mother Earth. Every cowherd man should learn from Krishna's personal example of milking the cow and of respecting Mother Earth. It's very important. So, meanwhile, in Yavat, Radha rose from her bed, sat in a chair, and washed her face. The Sakis dressed Radha according to the phases of the moon. A dark blue dress during waning moon. Waning moon means abnehmender moon. Or a white one during the waxing phase. Radhika learned of the meeting place set by her messengers and then left home accompanied by her intimate Sakis. Radha ran and sometimes walked slowly while proceeding to the gem-studded cottage in a bower of desire trees beside the Jamuna. Kishori and her Sakis admired the astonishing beauty of the pastime cottage. So here you can see Radharani leaving her home to meet Krishna. This is called Abhisar, a loving journey, and it is explained by certain acharyas that the devotee should also go on an Abhisar, on a love journey to meet his beloved. And just like Radha practiced, the devotee must also practice. What does he have to practice? He has to practice overcoming the obstacles. Radharani is sometimes putting buckets of water in her courtyard and makes it all slippery, because she knows she will have to go in the monsoon season when the forest of Vrindavan is slippery by so much water to meet Krishna and not fall on the ground. This obstacle must be overcome by practice how to walk on muddy grounds. Then she knows there will be thorns on the path, so she puts thorns in her courtyard and walks on the thorns to learn to walk like a yogi. And finally, there is another obstacle. Yes, the night is sometimes so dark. It's the Amavasya night. You cannot see the moon. So still, she has to find her way. And the way she does it, she learns to walk with a blindfold in her courtyard in the midst of the night, to learn to find a place even when it's very dark. So a devotee has to also learn to overcome certain obstacles on his path of bhajan. One obstacle certainly which we can encounter is dullness, where we are not connecting properly. We have to learn how to overcome that dullness. So there is another Mula Sutra. Oh, so many. With the arrival of night, the Sakis eagerly prepared Radha for her Abhisara with Krishna by dressing her in white clothes during the waxing moon or dark ones during the waning moon. Following Vrinda's cue, they went to the Sankit Kunj, that's a scheduled meeting place among the desire trees on the banks of the Yamuna. Krishna and Balaram joined Nanda and the Brajavasis to watch the entertainment in the palace theater. Afterwards, Yashoda tucked Krishna in bed. Due to his thirst for pastimes of love, Krishna left unseen by anyone and ran down the path to meet Radhika in a solitary grove. It's very interesting. Both Radha and Krishna run. They have no time. When their eyes meet, Radha Madhava's minds danced in joy and their divine bodies erupted with expressions of love. Radha Shyam joked with their sakis and then relished the most intimate and satisfying pastimes. May we always remember Radha Govinda's enchanting evening pastimes. Fantastic. So, now we start. Radha passed her time in Jatila's house by lying her lover down on the bed of her mind in the golden home of her body. behind the closed doors of her beautiful eyes. Isn't this a wonderful meditation? Radha's home is her body, and there she has a beautiful bed in her heart. There is where she invites Krishna to take a rest, and she closes the doors that no one can come in. That means she meditates like this. Wonderful. Suddenly, Induprabha Sakhi arrives from Nanda Maharaja's palace with the intention of driving away Radha's pain. Induprabha very loudly says, "Oh Radha! Vrindavan Chandra, whose absence makes you so distressed, craves madly for you, and no one else. Although Krishna steals the heart of everyone in the three worlds, his heart is stolen by you only." This is what Radha, what brings Radha back to life. You know, if someone who loves someone hears that the person whom he loves is thinking of him, then he is in ecstasy. Like when Vidura heard from Uddhava that Krishna, just before leaving the planet Earth, had remembered him and had given Uddhava a message for him, he broke down crying. He loved Krishna so much. And to hear that Krishna, in his last moments before leaving planet Earth, had thought of him, so much so that he had told Uddhava, "Tell Vidura this message." That was too much. Vidura just cried and cried and cried. Tears of happiness. That's in the Bhagavata, in the third canto. So when Induprabha says, you are meditating about Krishna, I know that, but do you know what Krishna in Nandagram meditates about you? Although he steals the heart of everyone, you have stolen his heart. Radha is breaking out of her samadhi. Vishakha said, "O Sakhi Induprabha, your Krishna Katha is like a shower of nectar for the Chakora birds of our ears." Then Induprabha continued, "Do you know something? Nanda Maharaj set Giridhari on his left side and Baladev on his right so that they could take their meal. It seemed to my eyes that that Kuvera, the lord of wealth, was flanked by his two gems, Padma and Shankar." So Krishna is compared here with a Padma. Most probably because his hands are so red. And Balaram is compared to who? Shankar. Shankar means the conch because he is so white. So Nanda Maharaj has Krishna on his left side. We know now who sits left and who sits right. And Krishna eats. It looks like a lotus, most probably because of his lotus eyes. This is bad. And Balaram is white like a conch. Nanda Maharaj's brothers and their sons, who were invited nightly for dinner, sat around him like chakora birds, thirsting for the nectar of Hari's moon-like face. So all the relatives are around, and they drink the nectar of Hari's face. Krishna Balaram looked like the Himalayas of transcendental bliss, surrounded by other mountains. This is something which the Brijbasis like so much about Krishna. He's always laughing and he's joking and he's just so blissful. Krishna in the companion of his uncles makes them all laugh all the time. On Yashoda's request, Tungi comes, the mother of Subhadra and the wife of Upananda, so she is an auntie. You must know, is especially expert in etiquette. She knows how to respect the elder people. So she wants to serve Krishna Balaram first, but she thinks it's the etiquette is to serve the brahmanas first. So she does that. And Rohini follows her. Then the husbands, and then Subhadra. Who's Subhadra here? Balaram, Krishna, and the others. Subhadra is Krishna's cousin. Ranga Devi knows everything about the trend. Acha, the cousin. Okay. So Tungi served. Would you like to know what she serves? I very much like to know this also. Extremely eager to join this feast in a body which is free from. Oh, Krishna. Western problems. So Tungi served warm, sweet-smelling rice saturated with golden ghee. There were gold trays of assorted fried items and wet and dry sabjis placed before the guests. Tungi, Rohini, and Yashoda carefully served Nanda and his clan the various bitter, pungent, spicy, salty, sour, and sweet items in their respective order. They also served soft rotis, sweet rice, pies, cakes, and sanjava made from milk and white flour. Yashoda, who knew everyone's appetite and preference, signaled to Rohini to serve their favorite dishes. That's interesting. Yashoda stands there and commands more of this to him. He likes this. And so on. She is the queen. Yashoda personally distributed unlimited amounts of condensed milk, shikharini, fruit pickles, matita, rasala, sadava, thick yogurt, and sweet mango juice. Yashoda, Rohini, and Tungi felt shy before Nanda and the guests. They could not directly exhibit their motherly concern to sumptuously feed their sons. Indirectly, however, they expressed their eagerness with their minds, words, and glances. So you can see all what was in the mind of these mothers was to feed their sons big, big amounts. The minds of Nanda Maharaj and the men melted with attachment, and their bodies moistened with tears of love. Amazing, isn't it? They all become wet. They directly express their affection for Krishna and his friends, so they can be direct, by inducing them to eat with their minds, glances and words. Eat more, and more. The elder men urged the already stuffed Krishna and the boys to eat again and again. The mothers were so joyful when they saw them eat. The only difference between the morning and evening meal was that Madhu Mangal's joking was more subdued before the elders, and Yashoda's eagerness to serve was more intense because of the presence of many relatives. So Madhu Mangal doesn't dare to cut his jokes. Like what was a joke of Madhu Mangal? He said, this Shrikant makes the bliss of Brahman realization seem to be insignificant. And then all the boys laugh. What else? What is a typical Madhu Mangal joke? Does anyone know? Because otherwise,
I don't know if it's really a joke, but he will say like he will need like 10,000 of stomachs that shame to the creator that I cannot eat more because I don't have unlimited capacities.
I need, like the devotees say, we want more tongues and ears. Madhu Mangal says we want more stomachs. So he doesn't dare to joke like this. But Yashoda's eagerness on the other hand is more intense. Krishna Balaram could not joke and play freely. Moreover, Yashoda could not liberally pamper the boys because of the presence of Nanda and his brothers. So, he was the king, you know. However, for Krishna's relatives, the evening meal was 100 times more blissful because the entire family could enjoy Krishna's association. You understand, it was more blissful for the relatives because they all sat there. When in the morning they are already out on the fields and so on. During the evening meal, the fathers severed the topmost bliss in all their senses by seeing Krishna's sweet smile, hearing his nectar words, smelling his sweet fragrance mixed with the incense swirling about the dining table, touching the wind as the boys fanned Krishna with palm leaves, and by tasting the delicious food. So all the senses were engaged in Krishna. You know, they saw, what do they saw? Krishna's sweet smile. What did the ears hear? What did the ears do?
They heard his sweet voice.
They heard his nectar voice. Now, what did the nose, how did the noses of the relatives experience Krishna?
Nanda Baba smelled the hairs or the
hair? Yeah, that's one, yes. Well, all the relatives smelled Krishna's sweet fragrance, which was even more sweeter because it mixed with the beautiful smell of incense, which was swirling around the tables. Can you imagine they are eating? Krishna's fragrance mixed with the incense which swirls around comes. I mean, that, from this we can conclude, if the incense swirled around the tables, Krishna's fragrance must also swirl around the tables. It's, in other words, a very blissful swirling. And the sense of touch was stimulated because some servant boys were fanning Krishna, and the breeze from Krishna's body touched their body. Can you imagine? And then the tongue was stimulated by tasting the delicious food. So it's the last verse now. After the for this evening, after the meal, the servants brought cool, fragrant water in jewel-studded golden pots so that Nanda, Krishna, Balaram and their friends could rinse their mouths. Now, tomorrow we will enter Krishna's sleeping chamber, and most probably we will all lie down on the ground here when we hear how Krishna goes to rest and just sleep in bliss. Hare Krishna. I once gave a seminar where I requested the devotees to enter yoga nidra. And I don't know if I can ever do this again, although it was a first class yoga nidra, but that was wild. Because one devotee started to snore so loud, and then when he started to snore, everyone was very joyful, but it was so absolutely serious, you know. I said, no one can, you know, we are doing now a very important yogi performance. And finally, Mata Yanti just exploded, you know. It was like a siren. It was so loud, and then the whole 150 devotees were just laughing so much that they were sweating from the laughter. It was really, they were all lying on the ground and they were just laughing, and I felt totally offended. I will never do yoga nidra with you again. And then everyone said, let's try again, they all shouted. And I was totally offended. I thought, I will not ever do anything yogic with the Hare Krishna people any longer. And you know what, they were totally encouraging me, try again, try. So we took that devotee out, who snored against his protest, you know. But then we gave him afterwards a t-shirt. We made a t-shirt, Master Instructor of Yoga Nidra. So that he wouldn't be angry. I'm saying this because tomorrow we will enter meditative trance, and if any one of you starts snoring, I will never ever lecture about Krishna going into a sleeping chamber. Krishna. So let us now summarize. What does any one of you remember of today's reading? The idea is clear. We have heard about Krishna going to the palace and taking a meal and then enjoying the performances. And Radha Rani is in separation in Yavat. She sits there in a meditative trance. So what do we remember?
I remember that Yasoda knows what everyone likes to eat. And she's informing Rohini and the servant to eat more of this to that person. That to this one.
Wonderful. That's a loving scene, huh?
Mother Yasoda likes more to serve in the evening feast than in the morning because all the relatives are there.
Yeah.
And Krishna is also more joyful.
I only know that it's because of the relatives in Krishna. Yes, he is very... Well, see, Krishna is in the evening... Nanda Maharaj is there, and for a woman to see her child relating to the father is extremely blissful, because it nourishes her own Vatsalya Bhav very much. When the mother sees the child relating to the father, and you know, Krishna sits there like a lotus flower next to Nanda Maharaj, and they eat together, and Nanda Maharaj cries, you know, tears of love. It is all wet because he sees his boy Krishna, and this gives so much pleasure to Yashoda. In the morning, Krishna is only with his friends there, and they joke, and Madhumanga makes his jokes, and you know, so that's also nice, but it's nicer to see that very affectionate scene. Mm-hmm. Ranga Devi?
I like very much the comparison that how Radharani is going out for Abhisar, that the devotee should also go, and that as Radharani is practicing for this by putting the mud and running in the muddy path with closed eyes, that we should, that the devotee should also practice to overcome the obstacles.
Yeah, that's, I heard this, and I'm bad encouraged. Bhagavati, what do you remember especially?
I like so much that they are not so much joking. Because maybe that they have to hide everything, or what they say, everything is more written. How they communicate. It makes it more sticky.
Was that in the text, or that? I liked very much this picture of how Radharani puts Krishna into her heart and offers him a very nice bedstead to lie on, and closes the doors of her body, the eyes. That I like very much, that image of Radharani having Krishna, then all of a sudden in Prabha, bringing all this Krishna Katha from Nandagram. What's her name? Indu Prabha or Induleka?
Indu Prabha.
Good.
in the reading, but in Krishna Bhavanamrita it is written that actually all the elders were not caring at all of eating. They were just so much satisfied to see Krishna that no one was interested at all to eat. They just wanted to look at Krishna how he was eating.
Fantastic. Now we should when we come to these readings, we should take some of the images, because all the verses which we find here are little images of Krishna's pastimes, and we should take these images, and we should be very, it's very important for us to this. See, Krishna is always beyond our mind. Even the nicest thoughts which we can think can never reach Krishna. So it's very important for us to stretch our mind, to put in new information from the scriptures, not what we already know about Krishna, but something which the scriptures tell us, or what the acharyas tell us, what is new. That is a very, very important Krishna. So we are now in the evening time has come. Time is also there. Thank you very, very, very much. It's very nice to come together, and I was speaking with Ananda Nitai on the way back from our little paradise which we have discovered. It's really a very, very wonderful journey. Every day a little deeper, and I also start to notice how the Brijbasis are becoming very friendly towards me and are not interested in money or making any thing. It's when you go deeper into bhajan, Brijbasis accept you as you are, but that's the only thing they respect, really. And with good bhajan, we stop playing, and we stop thinking to be a foreigner in Vrindavan. We are the lost son or lost daughter who has come home, you know. But if we are not going this road of bhajan, we will not arrive in Vrindavan. At Brijbasis, or the environment can be quite hostile. The mosquitoes can eat you up. The diseases can plague you. The Brijbasis can be the most tough people in the universe, you know. It's really, I must say, I can really tell very honestly, of course I like Vrindavan and I'm very much looking forward, but this year, past year, so much happened, so many breakthroughs, and I'm really the whole, everything works very, very hyperactive, And I really can see the life of Bhajan is really different than the life of preaching, although I have heard it should be the same. But I'm just thinking of the external things, like along this impossible schedule which I have, you know. Now I see it's actually dangerous, you know, to go every night to bed at 2 o'clock. That's not good for bhajan, you know. Then I've lost the Brahma Muhurta, you know. And it's very important to, I really have to address this more seriously, really. I can really see. Anyway, something will be done. I can see now very clearly what it does. It's really a very wonderful realization-filled time, but I think we should now end our program.